Amen. Okay, let's turn to the book of Genesis on chapter 8, just one verse. What I want to talk about today is the Lord's long-range plans. Amen? The Lord's long-range plans for this earth, heaven and earth. So let us look at the promise that God gave to Noah after he, what shall we say, destroyed the earth with water. But now in chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord is saying to Noah, well, let me start in verse 20 here. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So we see that even in the days of Noah, there were clean beasts and clean fowls, which would imply that there were also unclean. So these were precious, brethren, that had been brought all the way through the flood on the ark. And now Noah isn't saying, well, I need to hoard these animals and keep them because we might need some more food. No, he's offering it to the Lord. He's giving it back to the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Evil from his youth. Remember not, Lord, the sins of my youth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, there's that word now, the word remain. Let me tell you what that, it doesn't mean that it's going to remain for a little while. This word means, let me give you some of the meanings. It means continuance. It means since the earth remains, because the earth remains, as the earth remains, still the earth remains. So this is a continuing, ongoing, forever promise that we have from God. As the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, what this is saying, if you know a little bit about astronomy, the earth is going to continue to go its orbit around the sun. It's going to go in the same pattern that's been going. It's going to go tilted at an axis that's going to bring about the change of seasons. There's going to be summer and winter. There's going to be seed time and harvest. Now, seed time and harvest, we would call that spring and fall, okay, or spring and autumn. There's going to be day and night. In other words, this earth is going to continue to rotate at the approximate speed that it's going right now. There will be winter and summer. I would like it to have said that we're not going to have any more winter anymore. However, this doesn't mean that we're going to have the continuation of these wild storms that we have at the present time. It doesn't mean that we're going to have hurricanes and tornadoes and terrible things that shake and destroy. I believe that the earth can have summer and winter, seed time and harvest, without the curse. So it seems to imply to me that the curse is going to be removed while we have this period of time. So life is going to be different. We're talking about the future now, after the great and terrible days of the Lord. We're talking about beyond that. So let's look at some other verses. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 2. Maybe we can look in Proverbs chapter 2. Verse, let's look about verse, oh, I think it would be verse 21. Yeah. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now there's a word again that speaks of the continuing ongoing process of the upright in the land, okay? So this is natural people, this is natural earth, this is the earth as we know it, brethren. It's not just a spiritual, but it includes a spiritual earth as well. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, I find that a very interesting word to be used here, rooted out. That means uprooted. I don't know if any of you have ever been involved trying to uproot a plant. I mean, without using 2,4-D or Roundup, the chemicals, but to go about it in the natural process. We have a plant that for years and years, until this chemical spray was invented, called burdock. And the thing is, a horrible thing has big leaves. It makes burrs, and in the fall, anybody that walks through, these burrs come all over your pants, all over your clothes. Animals go through, they carry this thing, they carry these seeds. And it's an obnoxious thing to have. I have not found any real useful thing. I don't think that cattle really like to eat it that I know of. What do you think, Mike? Do you have burdock out there in California?
Yes, we do. I don't know if burdock is the name for it, but it's definitely the same sounding plant. They're kind of shaped like a football. It kind of small, and they're just like Velcro with the sticky parts, and they just stick all over you and everything. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, years ago, in order to uproot this kind of thing, they have a long root that could be about 18 inches long, and it goes right straight down into the ground. And if you can run over this thing with your lawnmower every week, and as soon as it gets a chance, it's growing again. You cut it off, it's right back. Now, the interesting thing is this is the case with weeds. In the natural realm, they can endure any kind of trampling and cutting. Let's say you plant some corn. Well, you go and step on that corn, and you just about killed it. You run over it with your lawnmower, or you cut it, it'll never come back. It's gone. It's dead. And I think, isn't that interesting? The things you want to grow are the things that don't grow. The things that you don't want to grow are the things that you just can't seem to kill them. And it seems in our natural world, this is the way wickedness is. This is the way unrighteousness is. It just keeps cropping up, cropping up. And the police think that they've got it all. They've got all the criminals put away now. They're all in jail. Wouldn't you know? There's a whole new generation of them coming along. Where did they come from? Where did they learn this? So, what the Word of God is saying in Proverbs is that they're going to be uprooted. That means the root is going to be pulled out. Now, there is roots, spiritual roots, that get into our soul. Amen. What did it talk about in Hebrews? It talks about a root of bitterness. It compares us to Esau, I believe it is. Lest a root of bitterness springing up and trouble you. Well, God has to uproot these things. It seems He doesn't come along with Roundup or 2,4-D or something like that and spray it. He pulls the roots out. And you know, when he goes after it, he gets all the root. He gets the tentacles. He gets the little pieces. Because if anything is left, the thing comes back. And that has to apply not only to this earth, but to apply to our earth as well, brethren. So there's another couple of verses that I find in Isaiah. And I'm hoping that you will give me a break here, because I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Now, I don't like to read anything out of the King James, but the Amplified Bible, I'll give it a break sometimes, because they're not out to change the meaning of the word. They're out to amplify the meaning, and sometimes they amplify it a little bit too much, and they get more meanings than were intended to be there. So they're not, I don't think it's a conspiracy that the Amplified people have to destroy the word. So if you'll bear with me and forgive me, I think it adds a little to the sentence that makes it easier to understand in my English here, okay? So I'm going to read in Isaiah 66, and we'll start in verse 18 through 24. Let's go to 66. No, let's go to 65 first. We're going to take them in order. 65, and we'll do 17 through 25. Verse 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. How many of you know God wants to create a new heaven and a new earth in your soul? And the former things not come to mind anymore. Now, if you go look at, back in your memory, in your past, you can find some things, I'm sure, if you search your memory, you can find some things that you really don't want to come back into your mind anymore. These things are in the past. These things are maybe sins of your youth, things that you did that brought you into a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. But in the natural realm, in this global realm, whatever, cosmic realm, whatever you want to call it, God is also creating a new heaven and a new earth. Now, let me correct this to say, I believe that there are people who believe in the pre-trib rapture, and I think I've encountered some of these people. They believe that God is going to let Satan completely destroy this earth. He's going to let them have nuclear bombs all over the place. I mean, just in other words, the description I would get is that this whole earth is going to be a nothing but a big old pile of nuclear ash, so to speak. What do they call it? It's contaminated. What's the word that they use there, Rita?
Nuclear.
Yeah. Okay. Nuclear fallout. Anyway, everything's going to be contaminated by some nuclear things that have about a 300-year half life or something that before they break down. You understand? You people have taken chemistry. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I don't see that this is what's going to happen. I mean, if we're going to inherit the earth, if the righteous are going to dwell in the earth, I don't want to inherit a pile of nuclear ash, okay? It's going to have to be a productive earth. And we're going to read some other verses here that it's going to be a good earth. It's going to be an earth without curse. So, what they say is, okay, we have to be removed from this earth, put off on a cloud somewhere far away beyond the moon or something, and then God's going to let him go at it, and this thing is just going to be totally destroyed. Then he's going to come back to Genesis 1 again, and God will say, let there be. No, this isn't what's going to happen. God made it. He's not going to allow the devil to destroy it. Now, it's going to go through a lot of hard times, but it's not going to be destroyed. So a new heaven and a new earth. When you hear of a new heaven now, what do you think? Heaven? Well, on the one hand, you could say, well, that's all the stars out there. You know, the moon and the stars and the solar system and the galaxies and all that. Is he going to start all over again and make it all again new? No. Come on, brethren, this is spiritual language. A new heaven and a new earth. My earth, me, my natural being, my heaven, my spiritual perception, my mind, my soul, the whole atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere that is now filled with demonic influence is going to be remade. It's not going to be like that anymore. Every thought, you know, God said back there in Genesis, every thought and imagination of man is unclean. It's unrighteous. There's going to be something new. People are not going to be prone. That's the first thing they're going to think is how can I take advantage? How can I hurt the other man? How can I get myself above all the others? People are not going to be thinking that way anymore because righteousness is going to prevail. Now let me go on. It says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad. We're talking about the millennium here now. And not only the millennium. God doesn't say a whole lot about beyond the millennium. But when it says forever, when it says it will remain, it has to go beyond the millennium, brethren, beyond the 1,000 years, okay? So be glad and rejoice forever in that I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Now, there's already a Jerusalem. What does God mean when he says, I create a Jerusalem? What does Jerusalem mean spiritually? What is the spiritual language of Jerusalem? Who is Jerusalem? Who is Mount Zion? It's the people of God. So God is creating, shall we say, a church. Maybe I shouldn't use that word, because it might bring some bad connotation to your mind about something that's wrong with church systems today. But God is going to create a people that are a people of oneness, a people who are an example to all the nations. And there will be people that we'll have to be an example for during this time. All right? Behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Rejoicing and joy. Keep that in mind. I like that. I like rejoicing and joy, don't you? Amen. We don't have enough of that. Now, I will rejoice in Jerusalem. God is going to rejoice in his people. Amen. Mm-hmm. Going to love his people. His people are going to love him. We're going to be glad to call him our father. Yes. He's going to be glad to call us his sons. Can't you just see the such a spiritual relationship between the Lord and his children, us? Amen. Be glad in my people, and the sound of weeping shall be no more heard in it, nor the cry of distress. This is going to be a good place to live, brethren. Really. I mean, this is going to be a good place. Some of our grandchildren are going to be living in this place, brethren. Let's go on. and there shall be no more in it an infant that lives but a few days. Now the King James just says an infant of days. But what it means is an infant that only lives a couple of days. Amen. Sister Lucy, you're a pediatrician. You're not going to have much work anymore. You might have to look into some other kind of work here, you know. Children aren't going to be getting sick and dying like they are now. Amen. Okay. Or an old man who dies prematurely, for the child shall die 100 years old. In other words, if you die at the age of 100, people are going to say, oh, what a shame. He was just a child. You know, he should have lived at least another 900 years, maybe more, maybe a couple thousand years. So this is an old man. He shouldn't be an old man. He died. He's only 100. He's just a child. See, so, brethren, I'm just a child now. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Although my body is not telling me that, but spiritually, this is where we are now, in the millennium now, okay? And then it says, and the sinner who dies when only 100 years old shall be thought only a child, cut off because he is accursed. So there will be, God will allow a sinner to show up. Well, sinners are dying a lot younger than 100 years, aren't they? But some of them are living out to that time. But what is suggested here is if you don't live out your full years, it's because you've been in rebellion against God. So now we're seeing what life is going to be like here beyond the time that we're living now. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall build houses and they shall inhabit them. Amen. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. What happens now? You build a house, you get a loan from the bank. You know, I don't know what your economy, what your money is like, but let's say in America, let's say it's going to cost a couple hundred thousand to build this house. Well, you don't happen to have that much money laying around. So you get a loan from the bank and you build the house, and then you get unemployed, or somebody's health goes bad. You have to start needing medical care, treatment, some very expensive treatment. And first thing you know, you owe the hospital and the doctors $100,000, and you can't pay it. And you can't pay off the house. So the bank comes and takes the house. And they sell the house. Somebody else now owns the house. And what happens to you? Well, now you're homeless, or who knows what happens. You're living in some little shack somewhere. And but that's not going to happen. See? You're not going to plant a vineyard. You're not going to have an orchard. And somebody else comes and takes the property from you and gives it to an unrighteous person, and they begin enjoying the fruit of your labor. No, that's not going to happen. It says, and they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat the fruit. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen and elect shall long make use of and enjoy the work of their hands.
Hallelujah.
You hear that? You want to go into business? You're going to enjoy the fruit of the business. Yes, people will be carrying on business. people are going to have in industry, but it's not, you're not going to be losing it. Why are we losing things today? Why do we invest in something and suddenly it has no value? Why would you even buy into a business, buy into a stock, let's say, and the next thing you know, let's say you buy something for $100 a share. All of a sudden there comes some news and all of a sudden it's only worth about $1 a share and you've lost it. You've lost it all. Why? What happened to this? Well, because of one thing, why does the market go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down? I'm going to say my theory, all right, Larry, you know more about this than I do. My theory is going to be because there's unrighteous people manipulating it. Am I right?
Yes.
There's unrighteous people that are pulling because they've got a scheme. And they know a way that they're going to inflate the value of it, and then they're going to suddenly sell and reap a big profit, and then it's going to fall in value, and the poor people that are left holding the bag are going to have nothing. And this is how, by the way, this is how multimillionaires and billionaires are made. They're made because of their unrighteous manipulation of the economy. Am I right? Tell me that's a crazy conspiracy theory. I don't think so. I don't think so. Not what I've been reading, not what I've been studying, okay? And I'm not an expert on that. I haven't had, I've only got a master's degree and I didn't learn all about economy and finance, but that's what I observe. And when I see that these millionaires that are working on the world economy and trying to bring about some kind of a world banking system and this type of thing, I know that I'm not wrong in this. The Bible is saying this is not going to be. Now, let me go on. And they shall not labor in vain or bring forth children for sudden terror or calamity. It's been happening for hundreds of years. You look back at the history of your family, if you could go back far enough. There were many children born years ago into families. There was no attempt to stop the birth of children. It would be nothing to have probably an average family 10 children. I know some that have a history of 19 children, single birth. I was just told the other day of another family, 22 children. But you know what happened to those children that were born years ago without medical care? They would lose half of them. I was reading, where was I reading? Was it something that my great-grandfather had written? That he prayed that his children would be able to bear children and not lose the children to disease he named some of the tuberculosis, diphtheria, some of these things. He prayed that it would not happen to those that followed him. So yes, a lot of children died, plagues, this type of thing. So it says, thou shalt not labor in vain or bring forth children for sudden terror or calamity. Think of the grief of these dear mothers that have brought forth these children to see this child taken from them. Amen. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. Now, here's a verse I like. And it shall be that before they call, I will answer. Boy, how have I wished for that in my lifetime? The Lord anticipates. You know, I think he kind of anticipates what we're going to ask for now. But it doesn't seem to come quite as fast Sometimes it seems like we really have to press in. Oh God, when are you going to finish my healing? I know you've heard me, Lord. I know you've heard me. Oh Lord, it's coming so slow, Lord. I mean, God, that you could do it so quickly. But here we have an answer to prayer coming and coming quickly. You know, I don't know. Is it my imagination, Brother Larry, that when we were ministering to people, oh, what shall we say, 30 years ago, back when we first started in the ministry, in the church business here, people would come. They had needs. We would pray. We got quick answers. People needed deliverance. We would just say, oh, God, you know, break the hold of that spirit. Break the hold of rebellion. Break the hold of sickness, the spirit of sickness. Break the hold of this and that. And you know what? It seemed to happen so quickly. We were in agreement. And the person got delivered. And they rejoicing. It seems that we have to pray harder now. Why? Why is it that we have to pray so hard? Because, let me tell you what I believe. Because this is going to be what it's going to be. And there's going to be such a contrast. You're going to see, oh, you're going to say, oh, remember what it was like. We had to pray so hard to get an answer. But now it seems like we just think about it. And God's ready to answer the prayer. So it shall be that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Well, he's hearing all along. But when he says he hears, it means he's going to do something about it. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Nature is going to be changed. Nature, wolves are not going to be feeding on lambs. Amen? And you can take that natural and you can take that spiritual. Wolves are going to have to learn to eat something else besides lamb. Amen?
Amen.
And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. By the way, lions don't like to eat grass. Do you know, let me tell you something that I know. I lived in Alaska, okay, and there are grizzly bears. And these grizzly bears are terrible, terrifying big beasts. And they love to eat flesh. But you can go online and you can find a movie. There's a man that followed the grizzly bear. And he made a documentary, and he followed the grizzly bear right out of their cave. They go in, they hibernate all winter long up there in Alaska. They hibernate, and the female has her cubs in this sheltered place, a cave, whatever you want to call it. And then when it begins to warm up, she comes out with her little ones. Well, these are the bears that live near the rivers where the salmon come up. And they want to eat salmon, but they'll eat any flesh. They'd kill a man if they could. They'd kill a moose. They'd kill anything, a big animal. And they love to dine on flesh. But when they come out, I was surprised. These bears go on the hillsides and they start eating grass like a cow. And apparently they're able to digest it, but they don't like it because it doesn't make them fat fast enough. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that things are going to change. These animals that are predators are going to... He's going to take that nature away from them. I wonder when that nature came on them. When did it come on them? When did animals start eating other animals? Well, I wonder if it came on in the curse. So if this is the description of what it's going to be like in nature, I will have to come to the conclusion that curse is being removed. If a man is going to be able to plant his vineyard and eat all the fruit thereof, and some disease is not going to destroy it, that must mean that their curse is gone. All right, so let's go on. And dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mount, says the Lord. And in the Amplified, it says, in my holy Mount Zion, says the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to chapter 66. There's a couple of verses here that I'd like to look at. I'm going to look in verse 18 here, okay? For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming. So he's talking about future now. The time is coming. This is, by the way, this is the last of Isaiah's prophecy. The time is coming, amen, when I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come, and they shall see my glory. We were singing about the glory of the Lord today, weren't we? The honor and the praise and the glory of the Lord. Now, all nations, that includes Guinea-Bissau as a nation. That includes Saudi Arabia. Amen. That includes Russia. Amen. Syria. Iran. Iraq. Any nation. Turkey. What are those? Ethiopia. What are those North African nations that probably don't worship the Lord? You can put their name in there. Niger. Amen. All those nations are going to come and they are going to see the glory of the Lord. Now, last week we were talking every knee shall bow. You're either going to bow voluntarily or the knee is going to bow by being forced into submission. That's what it means. Knee, the bowing of the knee, submission. Submission to God. Amen? Rebellion doesn't like to bow the knee, does it? It's a spirit. Rebellion does not like to bow. Amen. And I will set up, and the word is added here, miraculous. The King James just says, I will set up a sign. I will set up a miraculous sign among them. And from them, I will send survivors to the nations. All right, so he's going to send out missionaries to the nations. Now, he lists Tarshish. Where is Tarshish? Isn't that over around the Gibraltar area? The area of Spain used to be called Tarshish. And Pol and Put and Lud. I think some of these are North African names, amen, who draw the bow. Now we're going north to Tubal and Javan. Tubal is thought to be an area of Armenia or Russia. Tubal is probably today the name Tobolsk. Tubal and Javan. So they're going to go up into these northern regions where some of the leaders do not want to praise God and want to be in rebellion. The isles and coastlands afar off, well, at that time America was a far off place, and South America, all of that was coastlands and isles afar off that have not heard. At that time, the people over here had not heard anything of the Lord. and my fame, nor have not heard my fame, nor seen my glory. There it is. The glory of the Lord is risen. Amen. And they shall declare and proclaim my glory among the nations. The Lord is very interested in having his glory proclaimed in all the nations, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny about him wanting to be God? You know, that's a thing that only God can claim. We can't claim to want our glory manifest, although there are people that would like to have that happen. And they shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as an offering to the Lord. Now, these are means of transport that we don't really use today. We could say cars and trucks and jeeps, but it says here horses and chariots and litters and mules and dromedaries, that would be camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the children of Israel bring their cereal offerings in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. Now, he says, I will take also some of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. So it appears that the Lord is still going to have special ministries in the earth that are going to teach others the principles of the Lord. Now here we come. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me. There's that word remain. It means the same thing. It means it's going to stay. Amen. Says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. Your offspring, your children, your grandchildren. See, people are going to continue to have children, and children grow up and mature, and another generation. See, the generations are not going to stop. Natural people will inhabit the earth. Now, we who die and go on will be spiritual people, but we're still going to be involved in the business of the earth as kings and priests, ruling and reigning with him. But there will be natural people here. Amen?
Amen.
And it shall be that from one new moon to another new moon, and from one Sabbath to another Sabbath, let me put that in our language, from one month to month, and from one week to another week. Okay, that's the way they counted. A new moon was a new month. A Sabbath was a new, the end of a week and a beginning of another. All flesh, this is flesh now, we're not just spiritual people. All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and gaze upon the dead bodies of the rebellious men who have stepped over against me, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that word? Now, I'm going to take you to Mark. Let me find the chapter. Mark 9, I believe it is. And I'm going to lay aside the Amplified Bible here now. Mark 9, because Jesus made that same statement. And he made it several places. Mark 9, let's see, what verse was it? Let's start in about verse 48. What is it?
48.
But I think he starts before 48. Where's Mark?
About the
42. Yeah. Oh, no wonder I have Luke. I got the wrong one. Well, I couldn't find it. Yeah, Mark 9, let's start in 42. Now, Jesus is talking about hell, okay? He's talking about hell here. And he says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Be better for him if he wasn't even here. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that is never quenched, that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then he says the same thing about your foot. In other words, if your actions can't be controlled, it would be better. If your feet, if you can't control yourself, the places you go, it'd be better if you cut your feet off. Amen. And if your eye, it would be better if you were blind than having two eyes and cast into hell. Now, he uses this term, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What is the meaning of this? This worm, literally you could say these are maggots that eat on dead flesh. Okay? And by the way, the detectives that go to solve murder cases, when they find the body, the state of these worms, what state they are in, they can tell almost to the hour how long this body has been here, in what condition. So that's a natural thing that's being described. Jesus is not just talking about natural worms and natural fire. He's talking about a spiritual condition, because in hell, the rich man said his body went and was buried on the earth. He was buried. But it says he lifted up his eyes in hell and being in torment, and his tongue was in torment. He wanted water and he felt the heat. What was he feeling? What was the heat? What is this worm that dieth not? The heat is the torment of the conscience, I believe. It's an unredeemed conscience. It has not had the blood of Jesus. It has not been delivered from the pain of what you've done and the guilt of the sin, the nakedness, what have you. And it just goes on, and it just burns and burns and burns. And the worm is similar. The worm just keeps eating. Have you ever heard anybody say, or have you ever said to somebody that's just tormented and tormented, and you say, what is eating you? What is it that's eating at you? And what you mean by that is this thing is bothering you. It's working on your mind. So this is what hell is, brethren. It's just something that eats and eats and eats away at you. And this worm that just goes after you and just keeps going and eating, and the fire just keeps burning. And I believe the degree of sin is the degree that this heat and this eating away is going to continue forever and ever and ever. Brethren, forever. Don't listen to those people that are going to try to tell you, well, it'll only last for a little while, you know, for a little while, and then God will fry all that sin out of you, and you'll be ready to repent. No, if you weren't ready to repent by the time you died, you're not going to be ready to repent after 10,000 years in this. So, now, what puzzles me, though, is this verse in Isaiah that says that you will go forth and gaze on the dead bodies and the worm and the fire and all that. How can we who are redeemed, how can there be something for us to gaze on? This is a mystery to me. Now, I don't believe that we're actually going to be seeing bodies lying around with worms eating them and such. However, I have to believe that there is something of some kind of a memorial that is going to be a continual reminder forever of the penalty of that lifestyle, of what's left. I don't know what it will be. Babylon, we go into Revelation 20, I think it's chapter 20, maybe it's 18, maybe it's 18, yeah, I think it's 18. Go into, I'll turn there, yeah. Go into, and you're going to find that Babylon is destroyed. However, from a distance, you see her smoke. What is smoke? Smoke is the remnant of something that's being destroyed. In other words, the only thing that's left of it is this haze of smoke, the DNA or whatever of it. It's just being destroyed. It's burning and burning. And I kind of have a picture that there's something spiritual that we will always see, something maybe even in the natural that we will be able to see, that men, our grandchildren, will be able to see forever and ever as a warning. This is what's going to happen if ever man goes into sin and begins to follow the ways of unrighteousness again. I don't know what it will be. Maybe it'll be the ruins of the Vatican that will never be allowed to be cleaned up. And the stones and the pile of rubble, and people will say, oh, this there was so much riches here. Maybe make a tourist thing out of it, you know, that people can come and see. Well, this was the headquarters of Babylon, you know, I don't know. But there is something spiritual in this language about being able to see smoke and being able to see the worms and the carcasses of this is what happens. No, they're not going to go and get Hitler's body and bring it back out and put it. But by the way, do you know that they keep Stalin? They keep his body in a glass case. Did you know that? It's somewhere in Moscow. Now, yes, you can go as a tourist and you can see the body of Stalin in this glass case, all preserved. Why keep a wicked man like that on display? Daniel's nodding his head. You believe that, don't you, Daniel?
Yeah, it's quite strange. It's they have it also in the Vatican, all the popes in the basement.
Yeah. Now one of them just died. Was it yesterday? Just died. Are they going to preserve him too?
Yeah.
I didn't know they kept the popes, Daniel.
Yeah, I was in this Vatican for many years ago, and I went down to this basement to look at them, and it was quite strange.
Yeah. So. Now, those people that believe the earth is going to be destroyed. Okay, the point I'm trying to make here today is the earth remains. The earth remains. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. what we have today is a world religion. Now it's not called religion. It's not called a religion, but it is a belief. It is a belief that the people who are buying into this new world thing, they believe this so strongly that they're willing to die for it. I saw in Germany a picture. Because Germany agreed, well, what happens is they can't keep their electric grid running on the gas that's being supplied from Russia. Russia's cutting it off. So the German government has decided that they need to use coal in order to keep their electric plants running. So some of these people that believe this religion, they went out in front of all the traffic, and apparently they tied themselves there in front of the big trucks and everything, and they will give their life. They say, you can run over us. Well, of course the traffic stops. They're not going to run over these people with their trucks, but they're ready to lay their life down like this for their religion. What is their religion? They are convinced now that to bring some coal out is going to destroy the earth, and we're all going to die because we have carbon that's gone off into the atmosphere. Do you know something else? Do you understand? I'm getting into the little science here now. Do you understand that underneath Yellowstone National Park? You've heard of our Yellowstone National Park out in, I've been there. I saw Old Faithful squirting water up in the air. Underneath this is a massive volcano that hasn't burst forth yet as a volcano. It's been studied. There is, how do I say it? Tons of molten lava bubbling and boiling away down there, just waiting for an opportunity to spring up. Now, I read just the other day that in the carbon dioxide that is in this, held down in here, 10,000 times as much carbon in there that could be released, 10,000 times more than we release from our cars and our houses and our coal electric plants and what have you in 1 year. Well, suppose it were 100 times. So what was it? We're 1,000, no, 10,000. This is the same scientists that are saying if we don't go all electric cars, we're going to be destroyed. And yet, lying under the surface, and by the way, that surface is changing. Those lakes that are being heated, they're getting hotter, by the way. Yeah, that's changing. Something is going to happen. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to say what's going to happen. I'm just going to say the potential is there. And you know what else is going to happen if that releases? This is just Yellowstone, brethren. Do you remember Mount St. Helens in America? Where was that? Out in Washington? When that thing blew, it blew the whole top of that mountain off. It blew ash. It destroyed thousands of acres of trees. Just blew it down like that. They have estimated what would happen. These are scientists now, the same scientists that are telling you these fables about all of our earth being destroyed by carbon. That if this thing blew, there would be ash all over the Midwestern United States, the ash would not be measured in inches, it would be measured in feet in its depth. Tell me God isn't in control, brethren. And you know what? If it did happen, we would still have an earth. The earth would recover. Brother Daniel, you've been in Iceland. Iceland is full of volcanoes. Do you know what happens when these volcanoes release? Carbon. Carbon. Carbon dioxide comes out of there thousands of times what we put out in our cars and heating our houses. And yet the earth recovers in a short period of time. Oh, the airplanes can't fly through it for a little while, but it recovers. Come on, Brother Daniel. You know what these things are like.
Yeah, it's in Iceland is about 170 mountains that is can blow up. And it have been in my lifetime quite many of them. But what you are talking about in Yellowstone, you are talking about that the scientist is saying that this is maybe the most biggest volcano that is on the earth. And it is different from South Helens because South Helens is a volcano that explodes and bring quite much ashes to cover the land. But the Yellowstone is not like that. The Yellowstone is going to blow up so much lava, running stones, heating stones, and it destroys the land much more. And they know that there is a quite much activity under the Yellowstone today. They can see picture from Yellowstone taken for 50 years ago, and it is different. So this is happening.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I was there 60 years ago at Yellowstone. Never went back. Well, let me just a couple
Mark,
of verses.
Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I just heard the other day that when the thing blows at Yellowstone, it said it's going to put enough ash in the air that the entire earth won't see the sun for like a couple years or something.
Yeah, so brethren, we have to believe God is in control. God is in control. Amen. Let me just finish with a couple verses from Psalm 37, and then I open it up again. Verse 9, okay? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Amen? Not a pile of ash, but a fruitful earth where I can plant a vine and eat the fruit of it. Amen. Where I can build a house and stay in my house. Amen. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I like that verse. Amen. And then in verse 29. By the way, this whole chapter is a good chapter. Go home and read the whole chapter and meditate on this today. Amen. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. So come on, brethren, add something to it. Mike, you have something more to say?
Yeah, I had a couple things come to my mind when you were talking about you're not sure what we're going to be able to gaze on, you know, when it said we're going to see worm that dieth not. Well, the scripture that came to my mind was when Jesus said, what you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. And a couple experiences came to my mind. I consider three times this happened in my life. I entered the Holy of Holies. And one of the times I was in my truck, and I was so in the spirit that there was a canyon in front of me. And on the other side of the canyon, there was a horse. And he was walking down. And every once in a while, he would stop and look over some direction, you know, and his mane was blowing in the wind. And I'm telling you, I knew what the horse was thinking. Every time he turned his head and looked, it's like the Spirit of God revealed to me what that horse was thinking. I'm not kidding you. And so I feel like what we may see is something in the spirit. Like, have you ever looked at a person and you know something about them that no one told you? You never witnessed it, but you look at them and something was revealed to you about that person. So I have a feeling it's going to be something like that, that it's going to be something in the spirit. It's like, I remember when Samuel was coming to that town and the people ran out and met him and said, comest thou peacefully? They were worried that Samuel was coming because they knew that he could see in the spirit and he'd know if they were doing something wrong or not. So I think it's going to be a thing like that. You know, we're just in the spirit. We're going to be able to know and see things that are beyond natural comprehension.
Amen. You know, years ago, I was with Sister Janet, and I remember when Brother Campbell, he was a prophet. He had a prophetic word and prophetic insight. He could see. When he, just before he used to come into the area to minister to us, she used to get very disturbed and very distressed. And I said, well, see, she had that gift too. She could see. And I remember I said to her, what is your problem? I look forward to Brother Campbell coming. Oh, but I don't want him to give me a word. She was so afraid he was going to see something that she didn't want seen and that he was going to expose it. But he wasn't that way. I mean, the true prophet isn't going to do those kind of things. Amen. So, okay, yeah, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I was thinking about when you were speaking about the difference between the people on earth, and we know that there is a difference, quite strange difference, between the children of light and the children of darkness. And we are standing today seeing with our own eyes a lot of people rising up in the earth, just in the same things as was in the Egypt, because it says that they came to the power a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I think that is what we are seeing today. The government that have been coming together on earth today, they don't know about our past. They don't know about the man of God. And these people that they have been calling themselves as a global unity, they think they have been coming together and creating this global unity that bind them together. But I really want to let you see that it is not they that is creating this unity. It is not these people this godless people that have cast God out of every society, every school, everything in our society. It is not them that have been creating this unity. They think that this is a unity, but my Bible and the Word of God is showing me something else. In Matthew chapter 13, and it is verse 30. And he said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to reapers, and we know that this reapers is his angels.
Mm-hmm.
It is his messenger. It means that when we are a messenger of God, he has been transforming us into angels. And that is the reality. We are a citizens of heaven. We are a citizens of New Jerusalem, dwelling in heavenly places. And he said to them, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles. That is the unity, what the global people yes. are calling unity.
Yes.
It is not them that is unite with one another. It is God binding them together because he is going to destroy them.
Amen.
He's going to destroy the spirit of them. And he said, bind them in bundles to burn them. And that is going to happen before, he said, and gathering the wheat into my barn. And that is what we are looking. We have to see this trouble coming. We have to see the work of God coming forth in these things. There is he is binding a lot of these people together in unity because it is his work to separate them from our. And if you look at, I think it's in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 66, 66 and verse 7. He says, before she traveled, she brought forth.
Yeah.
Before her pain came, she was delivered of man child. It was before the pain. It was before she got the pain and the labor she brought forth. Mm-hmm. The pain came. But it came afterward.
Mm-hmm.
It is to walk within this new life. That is hard. But she was delivering the sun. And the sun is rising up. And it is rising up before the pain comes. So We can see both judgment and deliverance of God coming forth in our days that is coming. We can see that the message, the powerful word of God, there is nothing that is more powerful than word of God when it comes from him, his throne. And when he speaks, everything, absolutely everything, have to obey him. Everyone that is a friend of him, but also every enemy of him have to obey him because he is above everything. And when he spoke to the angel of death in Egypt, he said to this angel, do not touch the house where the blood is. Do not touch the house where the, lamp, the sacrifice lamp, is within. The lamp is within us today. And the most beautiful things is what is happening is that the blood that was on the house is now in the house where the lamp is. The life and the power of the lamp that is in us, it is in the same place. And we are coming to these days where when they were watching through the Red Sea, every single one of them that went to the Red Sea had the lamp within them. Everyone that was destroyed in the Red Sea did not have the lamp within them.
Yes.
It was the different. And this lamp is within us. So praise God. Bless you, brethren.
Amen.
We're glad you're getting well, Daniel.
Yes, I'm glad you're bad, Daniel. We need you. We need your insight that God has shown you.
Yeah. I'm glad to be a part. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Like in Psalm 23, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes.
Not only on Sunday or Tuesday or Thursday, forever. Every time I'm going to let my time and my life be that he can fill my spirit. And it only happened to spend time with him. And when I spend time with him in that matter, he will overflow from my spirit into my soul through my body to the people that he wants to reach out to. We don't realize that when the people was filled with the Holy Spirit on the Pentecostal, we don't see really the heart of God, what was he was doing there. He wanted to save 3,000 people. And he was only needed to have a vessel to do it, to flow through. And he saw these disciples that was waiting, hoping. And he came in the fullness into their life because he wanted to have a vessel to flow through into the world, into the life of the people that he was going to reach out to. All these 3,000 people that were saved that day was a miracle of the spoken word of God. And we can see it in, I think it's when David is speaking about these things, he's so beautiful. He's so beautiful when he speaks about it. It is in 1 Kings and verse 8. He says, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." Think about this word, heaven, and the heaven of heaven could not contain thee. It means that heaven that God was in, it was too small for him. He had to express him. And when he started to express him, he came into the next level of next heaven. And that heaven was the heaven of heavens. We have to have a revelation of what he's speaking about, because he fills your spirit. And when he fills your spirit, it is going to be so much of him in your spirit that he is going to flow into your soul. And a born again soul is a heaven above heavens. And when he fills up your soul, he will flow through you, flow through every area of your being, through your spirit, through your soul, through your body, through the man or woman that is standing before you, and God is reaching them and meeting them, healing them, saving them, and bringing them into his reality. And he is honor the Son that is glorifying him.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anyone else have a word to share?
One verse you missed, Mark, on the earth abideth forever in 1st chapter of Ecclesiastes. It says that, verse 4, that one generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever.
Amen. So thank you.
The contrast between the brevity of human life versus the longevity of the earth. And, you know, as you were talking about, I was reminded of Romans 8, where it says that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be released from the curse. So again, you know, it amazes me every time I read that creation itself is more mindful of what's coming than the majority of people on the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Okay, well then we shall bring it to a close today. And look forward to having you. And maybe others that will be back next week. And just ask God to be with you as we go through the week until we meet again. So I'm going to turn the recording off here. Oh, go ahead.
You're ready to go.
Okay, yeah. I'd like you to pray for me. I'm kind of having a hard time. I'm trying to transfer from my job to another place, and I'm just
I'm going to shut the recording.
I'm having, you know, I just need